This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hi.
And this week we are talking about The Bad Batch, the final season.
Yeah. This is just insane to think about, isn't it? Like, 3 years since that first season of Bad Batch that came out. And I remember being really hyped for season one. Like, I didn't know anything about the Clone Wars. And getting into the show was like revisiting that animation world of Star Wars. And the beautiful thing about the show is just exploring more of the clones' side of the story, especially this group, The Bad Batch. And we've been following this for 3 years. We talked about it on the pod previously, but now we're talking about it. Season three, it's just so mad that 3 years has passed by and then we are on the final chapter of The Bad Batch.
It's kind of weird to think about, really, this whole journey, because when it started in May, I think it was May 4th, almost 3 years to the very day, you know, when that began, at least for me, college was just finishing and I was just about to go to university and so much was changing in my life. And then you get introduced to this ragtag group of all of these soldiers who are all misfits in their own way amongst their brothers, and they're in this changing world, and we meet them and we meet Omega, who is this bright-eyed character who really makes them see the galaxy in a different way, you know, this child they have to take care of. And now, 3 years later, I have 2 weeks left of my university course. You know, I'm no longer living with my parents. I'm living at a uni house with housemates. I have grown as these characters have grown, as Omega has grown. They have experienced loss. I have experienced loss. This show has meant so much, and I could never have expected it to hit so hard. And I think this season, it was an immensely satisfying conclusion. It was beautiful in so many different ways. It wasn't exactly what I expected. I definitely thought that it was going to be a much grander thing. I thought it was going to be much more about all of the clones, but it wasn't. It was just about this family. It was just about Clone Force 99. And I think that actually worked really nicely. And I said at the end of the podcast last week that I was like, the finale has to be like an hour long, and it was 51 minutes. And it was
actually really
fun. You
were tweeting about, like, man, you just like,
I was like,
yes,
please!
I need an hour.
Yes, but and it was actually really focused, and it was really, you know, character central. And I thought this season wrapped everything up really, really nicely. As a conclusion, I don't think we could have asked for better.
I agree. The more I learn about these characters, it's beautiful, but also to look back on, it's just like, oh my God, yeah, I understand about these characters, and it just takes so long. And I like when shows do that. It's just like, there's that beautiful ending to these characters, and you don't want it to end. It's so well beloved, you know, there's these characters that you kind of grew up with, you understand, you know, about their lives and what they want. And I think, yeah, I agree. This just wraps up beautifully. And I hope there's some future for The Bad Batch in some shape or form. But we are getting another animation from Star Wars. So we're getting the Tales of the Empire, which is pretty cool. So this is really cool. Yeah.
Let's compare this to season two for a second. Now, I think all three seasons of The Bad Batch have incredible strengths and all have their weaknesses. I don't think that this show is as strong as Star Wars Rebels, for instance. I don't think its lows are quite as low as The Clone Wars. Each season is so different, I couldn't tell you which one is my favorite. But I think the one thing that has always remained the same about this show, and I guess it's worth saying that we're probably going to go straight into spoilers, so if you haven't seen it, go watch it, because I do think it's worth it for many reasons. But the show has always been the best when Crosshair has been on screen. I think he's the best character, and I
agree.
Think that this season just solidified that. His character arc is sublime. So often in Star Wars, we get the villainous figure who is redeemed, and then they die straight away. You think Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, these are major figures who get their chance to redeem, and then bam, that's it, they're gone. Even characters like Asajj Ventress, who does return this season, but, you know, originally her character arc was that she redeemed herself and then she died. That is what happens so often. But Crosshair, he gets to live, and he gets to finally feel like he has a place. There are so many beautiful lines in this season that he says. You know, there's one where he's like, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was being a good soldier. Yeah. I thought I knew what I was getting into with the Empire, but I didn't. And I think that getting to explore him and getting to explore his PTSD, his fear of losing more people. There's a moment in the finale where he tells Wrecker and Hunter to get Rex, and he's like, no, I've got going on my own. He doesn't want to lose anyone else. You know, he's shaking and he has this fear of everything that he went through. And to see him struggle with that, to see that episode where Omega tells him, just sit and breathe and just relax and center yourself. And he gets to do that. He gets to reunite and to fix the bonds with his brothers. And then at the end, he gets to take that final shot and save Omega. And she gives him a hug and he realizes that he is worth something. He's not just a soldier. He can still be a brother again. And the fact that he got to have a happy ending was just so heartwarming. I was kind of expecting a lot of the characters to die, but they didn't. They got to have that happy ending, that peaceful life on Pabu. And that means so much.
Yeah, he's such an interesting character. He was just very complex and layered and exploring his idea of the soldiers follow orders and breaking it down and trying to communicate towards Omega and then the rest of the Bad Batch. And it's just like slowly trying to heal himself, but also trying to reconnect with people. And I think that was just a beautiful part of that. It's like when you look back at season one, that plot twist that he's loyal to the Empire. I would say that is one of the best character arcs I've seen from season one. And then you look in season two, that horrible realization in season three, it's something that I was thoroughly enjoyed.
It's very Zuko in The Last Airbender, if you've seen that show.
Very Zuko.
Yeah. Mm. And I really liked how every episode in the first half of the season, we get numerous episodes with numerous characters like Crosshair. Mm. He gets to fix his relationship with Omega, and then he gets to fix his relationship with his brothers. And then he gets to fix his relationship with like Hauser, like, you know, as a representation of like the wider clones. He gets to atone again and again. And the way they build that is so brilliant. I also love the journey that Omega has gone on this whole time.
Yeah.
The way that she instigates her own escape twice, like she escapes right at the beginning of the season. And then at the end, she's so scared about going back to Tantis. And then she makes that adult decision of, I need to go back to save the people of Pabu and to make things right, to try and get these people out of Tantis. And she does. And she does so much of that on her own. Like, she's really, really grown. And it's beautiful that she gets, I mean, I don't know how long the epilogue is after the main story, but like, she gets like 10, 15 years to be on her own. And then she leaves at the end to go and join the rebellion. And I tell you what, the first episode of the show ends with Omega leaving Kamino for the very first time in her life and seeing hyperspace reflected in her eyes as they leave for the first time with her theme playing. And then the show ends with Omega leaving Pabu with her family.
I didn't make that connection.
I thought it was brilliant. I was just watching like, this is beautiful. And I think that, you know, whatever they do with her character, it was so wonderful to see her grow, to know that she got a childhood, to know that she got to live, you know, so happily for all those years. I think it's just wonderful. That final scene where Hunter is just kind of like, you will always be our kid. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to go and help people now. And he's like, great, man. Mwah! I love that so much.
And going back to like comparing the other seasons, the one thing that I've always said was that the shows, season one, season two, they go through a lot of filler episodes and they kind of interrupt the flow of what this whole show is trying to explore about, like the perspective from the post Order 66. And it's just so devastating. It's just a really dark side to it. And I'm glad that those seasons explore different aspects of that. This season in particular was so good with its pacing. Like, the pacing was so much better. And I was just so deep in the story. I was, like, really wrapped around the idea of Omega and trying to get her back. But the Empire really needs her. So it just builds up so much tension, but also mysterious elements around it. It brings so many elements in this one. So I was really happy with that.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most focused season, centering everything around Tantis, around what they're doing there, Project Necromancer with the children. There's a really chilling episode where we focus in on Emery, the doctor, who is also a clone, who watches all of these kids being kept in this room and used as test subjects. And this literal baby is kidnapped. I mean, that was harrowing, I thought, to see the Empire
Bane?
Like that.
Cad Bane just...
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh,
Cad
okay.
Bane, I love you, but like, come on, man.
I was like, you know, oh, what?
Yeah. The Empire is always doing this. Like, it's always, we're kidnapping children. They do it in Clone Wars and Rebels, and now the Bad Batch gets its kidnapping children episode. But I really, really enjoyed seeing that aspect. And everything is so closely focused to that and about bringing freedom. That final episode where everyone is freed. The kids are freed. Mm. The clones are freed. The Zillow beast is freed. All of that was so beautiful, so cathartic. You know, it's not galaxy spanning. You know, at the end of the day, it's just another Imperial project that's shut down. But it's fantastic. I do think that comes as a double-edged sword. On one hand, the season is brilliant with that focus. But on the other hand, there is just too many moving parts. Because, okay, on the one hand, Crosshair is back with the Bad Batch. And so we don't have to like leave all of those characters to focus on Crosshair. They're all intertwined. That works really well. But there are so many more moving pieces. We bring in Wolf for a couple of episodes. Yeah. We have Ventress who shows up for an episode. We have Fennec. Rampart who comes back in. Yeah, Fennec is in there. Cad Bane is in there. Emery is also another one. You know, like Hemlock. So many different. CX2, who is at the mysterious clone.
I mean,
we got
to see old faces.
Always...
I mean,
it was wonderful. I loved it all. You know, I loved seeing them, but it kind of muddied the direction of the season a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to that ending and we have like two episodes where they're trying to get to Tantus and it feels like we're crawling to get to that place. And really, I think the season just had too much going on, especially when it comes to how the season ends up. A couple of those things never come back. Ventress's role feels like a backdoor pilot for something new. Wolf is just there. It feels like they had that to kind of set up the future, whatever they decide to do next. Quite a few of those just felt like they were doing it for the sake of, oh, we have more things coming, you know, that this story will continue. I don't mind that. I'm excited to see what comes next, of course. But it did, I think, feel a little bit up and down, and I was very worried about the finale, and I was thinking to myself, if this finale doesn't deliver, this season won't be great. And thankfully, the finale did deliver, and I'm very happy with how it turned out. But they had me in the first half, I can't lie. You know, like I was worried.
Yeah, there's so many things that were happening, but they kind of made it consistent. And the great thing about The Bad Batch is the characters. They are very well characterized. Like, the voice acting, for example, just adds that to another level. The crew just has their own personalities.
D. Bradley Baker!
Ah, the GOAT! Yeah, he carries all of that voice acting. Like, it's insane how much range he has for each of those characters. And he does it so well and just makes them feel alive from the different side of the clones. And you really care about these characters. And the one thing that I was really worried about was that Tech was going to return somehow.
Oh my God, me too.
I was like, God, please don't be. Because people were theorizing, is it like CX2? And they were like, yeah, that's Tech. And I was like, no, please. I don't want to drop the ball, because what the Bad Batch learned from his passing is so devastating. And it just really adds that layer of conflict between Crosshair, because he was loyal to the Empire, but with Hunter and Wrecker, they become so much closer in this season. And it just adds so much for Omega as well. They really want to care for Omega, and they do not want to have the same towards Tech. So it's that one that I was just really happy with. They didn't do that.
Yeah, Tech sacrifice. Somehow Tech returned. Yeah, his sacrifice was so important for season two. It allows them to escape. It allows to give them another chance. You know, it's the classic live to fight another day. And you see it in so many scenes in this season. He's mourned, you know, like with his glasses, or, you know, like when he's mentioned, like there's just this hole. And that is difficult to grapple with, because we all loved Tech. But I think it's really good that they didn't bring him back. I think Star Wars has a problem with that, you know, bringing back dead characters. It happens all the time. It happens in this season with Ventress. I read the book Dark Disciple. It's a great read, but the intention was for her to die at the end of that, and it made thematic sense. So obviously,
how does she come back?
We don't know. We have no idea. I'm sure we'll find out at some point. Somehow Ventress returned.
Can you imagine in Star Wars, they'll do like a book about how they bring back characters, and it's like,
that's the next reference.
Rage Argul. You know, the Rage Argul.
Yeah, we need that. Oh yeah, there's just the Lazarus pit that all of the characters in Star Wars are just bathed
in. Star Wars, actually, there's a planet.
I mean, that's actually how it ends in Dark Disciple. Ventress is bathed in this Dathomirian. It's all mystical. And so I think that's kind of how she survived. But yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting CX2 to be Tech. And I'm so happy that it wasn't. I even thought that it was going to be a clone of Crosshair. And it wasn't.
Oh,
and I'm
actually
really happy.
I thought that
because
too.
At the end, it was just a bunch of advanced clones. Actually, one of the composers described it as the worst batch. It's the idea that if the Bad Batch had saved the Empire, this is what they could have become. Mindless drones who are just used to inflict violence. And I think it's really great to have that right at the end, that dichotomy. CX2 even says to Crosshair, you know, you had the chance to become one of us and you failed. I love that they didn't do that. Star Wars fans need to stop, you know, like with with Marek and Ahsoka, with Phasma and Snoke. So many characters, they're just like, who is it? Who's this guy? Who is it? Like, you know, could this be like connected to something else? And it's like, no, it's never connected.
One day,
calm down.
It's going to be you, Tom. You're going to be theorizing this.
No.
Is it Imogundai?
Brilliant.
You got Imogundai.
You keep on getting the drop on me of Imogundai. I used to surprise you with it, and now you surprise me. That's it. Best Star Wars character, for real.
Oh, but the Gonk droid. I need the Gonk droid.
Yes,
you know,
I mean, Gonky lives. Gonky lives
Gonky
at the
lives.
End. We're okay.
Hell yeah.
We're okay.
Hell yeah.
But like, yeah, I loved that we didn't get that. It wasn't tech. It wasn't a clone of tech. And I enjoyed that right at the end, we also got to see a little bit more for Echo. Now, Echo was a runover from the Clone Wars and was a significant part of that series. And I really hoped he would have done more in the show, but continuously he's been hard done by the whole time. And I think my biggest criticism of the entire show is that they never really did much of Echo. Season one, he didn't do anything. Season two, he leaves so we can do more, but it's all off screen. We barely see him. But then this season is more of the same. And I did enjoy what we got at the end where he infiltrates Tantis. That was really cool. There's a moment where he says, we don't leave our brothers behind. And that was brilliant because we know that in the Clone Wars, Rex went back for him when he was being experimented on. That's a brilliant kind of moment for him. But I do wish we got more from Echo. And I think that's like, if this show had done more with him. Because sometimes it felt like it's the Hunter show, the Hunter and Omega and Crosshair.
The Hunter show.
I think season two did a bit more for Tech, but I think Wrecker and Echo never quite got enough development, and I really would have liked to see more from them.
Yeah, I remember in the promotional stuff for season one, like Echo was the character that people wanted to see. But yeah, I did want to see more of him. It just felt a bit empty, and it's like, what could he have done to serve the story or explore more about him? But yeah, it was just Hunter, Wrecker, and Omega. They were part of that story, but then the other characters, they were just there. And it just kind of like annoyed me. I'm like, no, what about Batcher?
I loved Batcher. What a great...
He was great. Like,
she's such a fantastic addition to the Bad Batch.
There was a great moment between Hunter and Crosshair talking about what happened ages ago, me being loyal to the Empire and his whole ideology about taking orders. And it was a beautiful moment that I wish there was more moments to see more. Like Echo, you could have a moment like that to talk about his experiences in the Clone Wars.
I hope that we see more of Echo in the future. And I do think it is set up for that. Another thing that we get in this show across all three seasons is that sense of foreboding with the Empire getting bigger and bigger. We already see in this season, it's just everyone crawling up over each other to get to the top. But ultimately, the only one that matters is Palpatine. You know, the only thing the Empire cares about is progress. It seemed right at the end when like Hemlock is dead and Rampart is dead and all the research is gone and Tantis is wrecked. And then we get that shot. It's probably one of my favorite shots, where the Batch have just escaped, they've just gone into hyperspace, and then bam, three Venators come out of hyperspace, and one of them is an Imperial Star Destroyer. And it was perfect, just being like, we're here, the Empire as we know it is here. And then Tarkin's like, well, guess we'll just take all the funding to Project Stardust then. And that's the Death Star. Like, you know that like all that matters is the bigger projects and this idea of ruling over everything. And I love that. Like, we never actually see properly what Palpatine was up to on Tantis. Like, we all know about Project Necromancer. We all know where it's going. Rise of Skywalker, we've seen it. But it's not about that. It's not about setup for the sequels. It's about the Empire and how they use the clones and how they use these kids and how they're constantly need to have control and order over everything and everyone. Like, people are going to push back. You know, the clones, the Kaminoans, like Nala Se, or even someone like Rampart, they're all exploited for the Empire, who get away with everything. But like, you know, that they push back. And I think that was really, really greatly done. And, you know, if we did see what Palpatine was up to, I do think that would have been interesting, because at least to me, I think he was obviously making clones of Imogundai. Let's go. The greatest Jedi who ever lived. He shall
return.
No,
I've been Imogundai.
Somehow, Imogundai returned and the crowd cheered.
Who's Imogundai? But yeah, regarding about like leading up to Rise of Skywalker, I mean, we have so much space between Force Awakens and then Return of the Jedi. Like, there's so many things that are going around, like Mandalorian, but there's so much potential that Star Wars can build up with so much lore. Like, they're still writing lore to this day, and I think that's amazing.
We literally just hit 10 years of the new canon in 2014, which is mad.
Yeah, and the great thing about that, you know, like Andor just adds so much layers to the Star Wars universe. And season two, I'm just really excited to see the future of it. I would say that is the best thing in Star Wars ever.
It really shows you how great Andor is. Because every time we talk about Star Wars, we always talk about Andor because it's the perfect thing.
Like, oh, Tom, do you remember Andor? Do you remember Andor?
Those were the days. Like, obviously not everything is going to be like Andor.
We're still waiting on season two.
I don't want everything to be like Andor, but I think that season one was so good. I ordered the Steelbook. We're not here to talk about Andor, but that is fantastic. We have an email, from Samuel Masson, who says, "Hello there. This was a great final series to The Bad Batch. And dare I say, one of the best pieces of Star Wars we have ever seen? The series starting with a 5-month time jump sets up the roles of two of the focus characters this season. Omega has become more confident, quietly learning and making plans to form an escape. And then Crosshair, who has fallen so far on the other way, accepting his life in prison. This was just the start of not only amazing character growth over the course of this season, but over the entire series. The change in both these characters has been such a joy to watch. Seeing Crosshair go from a soldier who cared for himself to be willing to lay down his life for others was great. So you can see him miss the tracer shot on Pabu. You really feel for Crosshair, an emotion that some viewers may not have felt with him before. And as for Omega, seeing how she starts off, a young child who isn't fully aware of what's going on and the effects of war, to being a leader and taking charge when the situation calls for it. It truly was great writing and development. The series has also hammered home how evil the Empire really is. Seeing more of what's on Tantiss, clone experiments and torture, the Emery-focused episode where you see captured children, Zillow Beast captivity. It also went further with the invasion of Pabu. You really saw the ruthlessness of these soldiers, and in one of the early episodes, the corruptness of some of its officials. And the Vine experiments and how they left prisoners behind when they bombed their own base. Seeing more clones was awesome, and they held some of the best armor designs we've seen throughout the prequel era. Samson with his purple-blue striped armor, Nemec with his green swirls, and Fireball with dirty sort of camo look. It's clear to see the difference between these clone remnants and what the Empire brings. The clones are fighting for their freedom, whereas the Empire forces conformity and compliance, bearing a grey or white tone on most of their forces. There are some fun cameos in this series. Cad Bane appeared briefly, Fennec Shand had an episode, and Tarkin was there too. Wolf was there too, more on him later. Ventress was also here, and seeing her go toe-to-toe with the Batch was really entertaining. The choreography on that episode was really well done. Was there motion capture used in the making? Because that fight was very smooth. But it also goes to show how far the animation style has come. There's so many beautiful shots in these episodes, and I want this style to be utilized again. The last two episodes this season are among the absolute best of Star Wars. The previous couple of episodes did feel somewhat filler, but they still contributed to the story. They were just a bit short, and the story wasn't advanced that much, but these last two were phenomenal. The whole infiltration of Tantiss, the Zillow Beast unleashed, the Batch working together and reaffirming their loyalty was all great stuff. The assassin clone who had much speculation around him as to who he was, and it turns out he was one of the group of assassins clones. Those guys were cool, but definitely should have been used more. Crosshair lost his hand too. That one was shaking. This set up one of the most perfect redemption arcs. He failed to make the shot to help Omega and Pabu. Here he had to make the shot to save her life, and he made it. You can't describe the feeling when he made that shot and that all the Batch made it out safe. And that shot on Pabu, the clones won their freedom and they got the life they wanted. And then seeing an older Hunter and Omega was definitely not expecting that. It was a surprise to be sure, but a welcome one. I was a little bit disappointed by the finale at first because I was expecting a tease for what was to come in terms of the clones. But on reflection, I learned to enjoy this as the finale and let the future happen when it happens. That being said, there are three potential spin-offs on the table. One, a spin-off with Rex and other clones. We still don't know how Rex, Gregor and Wolf end up where they are in Reckles. When does Wolf change? What happens to Echo and Hauser? Two, a Ventress series involving either Omega or the Path. I'm leaning more towards the Path. We can see what happened post-Dark Disciple and maybe even get Quinlan Voss involved. His name was on the wall in Kenobi, so we know he's out there. Three, an Omega series where she's part of the Rebellion. This could take place anywhere in the original trilogy timeline, and it would be great to see her growth even further into the Rebellion. What spin-offs do you guys think we could see from this? The meme, gentlemen, and he has the meme of the girl looking at the fire, and it's the Zilla Beast causing havoc, and Omega looking... Thanks for the hard work and content.
Thanks,
Sam.
Thank you for the email. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much, Sam. Okay, John. Spin-offs.
Gonk Droid. We need a spin-off for Gonk Droid. That is something that I want deeply in my heart.
Yes. Maybe I'm a Gundai and the Gonk Droid can work together. Like, maybe they fall in love. Like, let's explore that.
let's have a rom-com. Yes. Let's have a rom-com. Just like, I'm a Gundai and Gonk Droid. Like, maybe solving mysteries of the universe.
They're detectives now. Yeah, nice.
Detectives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, because obviously Tales of the Jedi, we also have Tales of the Empire. I think Tales of the Clones would be fantastic. If each Tales of series is doing two characters, there's no better two characters to explore than Echo and Emery. Let's really get a feel of what they were like before the Empire, what they were like after the Empire. I feel like that could be amazing. I think that the Tales of series, there's a lot of potential for where they could go with that. Tales of the Bounty Hunters, Tales of the Sith, Tales of the Republic and Resistance and Rebels. You can go anywhere with it, but like, let's think about the next ongoing Star Wars show. Let's think about,
yes,
because we will cover Tales of the Empire and we'll talk about the tales of them, but like, what do you want to see from the next thing? Do you want to see a sequel to this? Do you want to see something completely different? Like, what is it? What's on your bucket list?
I would love to see more of Omega, what she has to offer in the story, because I think her story is so interesting. But the other thing about Star Wars is that they try to look back into the lore or explore new concepts. We are getting a film about the history, like way, way, way back.
Yes.
You know, about Star Wars, about like the Jedi. Yeah. But I think Star Wars has to look into different parts of the galaxy. I think that is so exciting.
Yeah, I think for a long time now, I've been, you know, banging on that door of, I want a sequel trilogy show, something that kind of goes before the sequel trilogy, before Resistance, and goes alongside, intertwines, kind of, you know, similar to the Clone Wars. That era is just begging for so much more depth in the characters and the world building. I think that would be fantastic, and I still want that a lot. But I would say that after the end of the Bad Batch, I'd love to see what happens to Echo and Wolf and all the, and Cody and all the clones, you know, and also Omega, like what happens to her, the rebellion. Sam mentioned the hidden path. There's so many things you can do with that.
What is the hidden path?
Well, you know, in Kenobi, there's that whole like underground system that they use to get away from the Empire, which is like where Force sensitive refugees.
Yeah.
So that's in that, and it's also in Star Wars Jedi Survivor, the video game. And we could totally go so many directions. And I just want there to be something new for animation. I don't really care what we do. Tales of is a fantastic little mini series. Visions is a beautiful celebration of culture and what Star Wars means. And the shows like Clone Wars, Rebels, Resistance, Bad Batch that go over a period of seasons, they are so special. And I hope there's something else. I hope it's announced soon. Wouldn't it be nice if it's already announced by the time this video comes out? So maybe, maybe we already have a new thing. We know exactly what it's going to be. But for now, I'm just so happy that Bad Batch and Clone Force 99 got their happy ending. You know, that shot of them all sitting on Pabu, where it just fades out and they're all just happy. My little heart. Star Wars is not a series where people get happy endings. And just knowing that the Bad Batch got to have a happy ending, even for 10 years, or even if it's less than 10 years, even for an amount of time they got to have that happy ending, that's beautiful to me. And I will hold that so close to my heart.
The Bad Batch, I think they're really important to Star Wars history. You know, it kind of leads up to Andor. I mean, that's years apart.
Comes back to Andor. Yes.
It all connects. I mean,
yeah, I'm so happy that we've had this show, and it's been a really great journey.
I don't know how to say goodbye to the show. It's been such a long time.
It's not goodbye. It's just see you later.
No, please.
John, no. It's going to be okay.
It's been a long... No, I'm not singing that.
So, Bad Batch, season 3, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to give it an 8. Thank you everybody for listening. If you liked it and you're listening on YouTube, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we are going to be doing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Oh yes!
So excited.
It's
going to
be so, so cool. And you can send us an email at ourtimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday. So let us know your thoughts on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes by then. And we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Very excited about that. You can follow us on Instagram at ourtimefilmpod. See our incredible thumbnails from St. Asval. On Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me. And TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Smith for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Take great giving.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.